Hello and welcome to the Surfing Podcast, the number one surfing podcast, recorded at a small comedy theater behind a Chevron. That's the division we'd be in, I guess. So the best in that region. Hey guys, what's going on? This is Dan. I am your host on this journey of sound discussing surfing, and thank you for tuning in. Last episode, what did we talk about? Oh, surfing etiquette and snaking and that stuff, and how crazy surfing subreddit is. A lot of people seem to really enjoy that episode, and I got a lot of feedback about surfing etiquette. So that was surfing etiquette part one. It was just a cursory discussion of the problems people have. I will definitely try and figure out how to break it up into multiple episodes and do a deeper dive into like different parts of surfing etiquette. So if you have a part of surfing etiquette you'd like to hear about or hear discussed in the show, or you have something to chime in about, send us an email or a message on Facebook or an Instagram comment or message. You know how a computer works and your phone works, so just do that. A lot of good stuff to talk about today. Real quick, the jump-off point for this episode is definitely because if you notice, this podcast goes back and forth. Sometimes it's about surfing. Sometimes it's about my own personal experiences or failures surfing and arguments with other people. Sometimes we just go off in the WSL for a whole hour. But I try to keep the show just at the core about surfing and things that you'd experience as a surfer, whether you're a young surfer, an old and tired and, you know, disabled body surfer like me, or anywhere in between. This week I want to talk about the actual one thing about surfing I really like. It's the accidental fun wave session. Like a session. I'll give you an example. I woke up this morning. Waves been pretty small all week in beautiful Huntington Beach, California, where it's always, you know, 2 foot and walled, or 6 foot and more walled. You never know what you're going to get, but you always know what you're going to get in Huntington Beach. But anyway, my wife and son were did a sleepover in L.A. because they went to some event, to the Coco Live, the Hollywood Bowl, and I had to run a show here at our comedy theater in Huntington Beach, the amazing comedy theater, again, located behind a Chevron, the only comedy theater in Southern California located directly behind a Chevron. Come see comedy, but also get gas and, I don't know, buy a Gatorade or giant Monster Energy drink, 3 for $2 or whatever at the gas station next door because they have like a little kiosk. But anyway, my wife and son are out of town, so I got to stay out late after the shows and bullshitted with my friends. Then I came home and played some Borderlands 3 on the Xbox, which I highly recommend. It's a super fun game. And then I went to sleep, and I slept in for the first time in probably weeks, if not months, if not years, because we have a six-year-old son who, if you have a young child under, I don't know when it quits. I don't think it ever stops. But I think a kid under 10, they get up really early. I guess once they hit puberty, they sleep till noon, and you can't get them to do shit. And I would much just go in your room till noon. That's fine. But our son is up at 5:47, just jumping up and down on my genitals and hitting me with a lightsaber, you know, saying, "Daddy, I want to watch shows or whatever." Yeah, so that's fun. So last night they weren't home. So I slept in a little bit. I did what many surfers do. A couple surfers I talked to this afternoon in the water do. Around 7:30, I had to get up. I don't know, maybe I had to pee. Maybe I was going to practice karate. You don't have to know what I was doing. But I woke up at 7:30. I was tired. I was like, oh, I'll check my phone because, I had a morning off. I could go surf if I wanted to. Checked my phone. Fired up the beautiful Surfline app. And that's not an ad for Surfline because we all, the surfers, make fun of Surfline and call them surf lies because they're regularly. They're often not accurate in their forecasts. But they do have a lot of webcams, God bless them. And these HD webcams are tied right into this app they have for iOS and Android and possibly Windows Mobile. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. But I fired up the Surfline app, which I am, you know, a premium subscriber. It's worth $80 a year not to have to see commercials or whatever. And sometimes I'm in a drawing for an XL wetsuit, apparently, which I've never won, which I wish I did. It'd be killer. So I fire up the app, and I look at the waves on the north side. Northside is the time of year. I like Northside this time of year because you're still getting a little bit of the south, but we get that west wind swell or even medium, moderate, you know, medium period wind swell or swell. So it breaks it up a little bit more. Sometimes Southside is a little more consistent with the souths are bigger at this time of the year, but it's less crowded, but I think better shape. And it goes back and forth. And then the west swells become more dominant. And after like January or December, we're going to, you know, it moves to where like Southside is the best place to surf. But both sides of the pier looked a little fun. But at 7:30, we had south wind. Oh, yeah. It's not called devil wind. I was going to say, oh, devil wind, like in Jeopardy. It's nothing like the Devil Wind in Jeffreys Bay, South Africa. It's just Southwind is inconvenient, but it starts early and usually ends early by the early afternoon. And it also helps keep the water warm because it blows the way the current blows. It blows the warmer water in from wherever, you know, the under subterranean volcano vents that heat the water in that part of the ocean that comes here. No, that's not true either. But it does. It helps with the water temp, but it's funky in the morning. So it was a little funky. Looked a little crowded, but not too bad for like it was a weekend day. It was a Sunday. Recording this on a Sunday, you're probably going to listen to Monday or Tuesday or 17 Thursdays from right now, if not more. But it looked like 2 to 3. It looked kind of fun, serviceable, but it's a little funky, a little bit windy, and that was enough for me to go, oh, it's windy. Oh, I'm not going to surf. And I went back to bed for 3.5 hours, and it was great. Normally, when my wife's and son are out of town, I don't know if they're never out of town, but if they ever are out of town, once in a great while, I sleep like a dead person, and it is wonderful. But we have a cat that is not allowed on the bed, that my wife doesn't let on the bed anymore. We have a cat named Lucky Cat. My wife used to love this cat, and I used to love this cat like a child, and just pamper it, and spoil it, and take pictures of it, and all this bullshit. All the things that all these young millennial hipsters are doing is having a cat instead of a kid now. We did that first. You know, you can say, okay, boomer, all you want. But me and my old lady had a cat that we put a fucking Santa beard on and took pictures of 1 year. All this bullshit. Set up a green screen to take pictures of my cat one time in our downstairs extra bedroom. So I'm as sad. Please know, whatever I'm making fun of ever on this podcast, I am as much of a sad idiot as anybody I would ever make fun of, if not more. And if not 10 years sooner, a bleeding edge idiot. So we had this cat we used to love. And then my son was born. I mean, the other cat my wife didn't love, but when my son was born 6 or 7 years ago, whenever how old is he now? 7, 25, I don't know. He's like 6 and a half. When he was born, you can't have cats around. When your wife's pregnant or partner or whoever, whatever you're doing, your old lady, somebody you knocked up. When a lady is pregnant, it's not good for them to handle litter box stuff or cat pee or poo. I forget which one. You could Google it and look it up. Because you can get like myxoplastic or something. It's some name that it's not myxomitosis, because myxomitosis is like AIDS for rabbits. That's the disease, the white blindness that the rabbits get in Watership Down, which is a great book, by the way. You should have read by now. If you haven't, pick it up, but don't read it to your kids, because it's a horrifying tragic story of all these rabbits and like their political struggle to move and the wars they have and stuff. It's a kid's book, but it's not a kid's book. And even the cartoon from the 80s is real fucked up, and there's one now that's on Netflix. It's a pretty good cartoon, but it's also, there's a lot of fucking political intrigue and maiming and killing. Watership Down, great book for an adult, kid's book for an adult, but not a great book for kids. But anyway, it's not myxomitosis, whatever. Myoplastia or some shit. Ladies can't handle cat pee or dirty cat litter because it can like absorb in their skin and make your kid grow a horn or a fucking fin or, you know, an extra leg or some shit like that. So we had to get my wife, when we got pregnant, she refused to clean the litter box. When we did IVF. So when she was doing IVF, refused to touch the litter box ever. And then I'm like, God damn it. And then we'll get to that. And then I had a clean litter box. And then when our kid was born, like, she's like, oh, we got to get rid of these cats. So one cat was this giant unpetable cat, just unpetable. It was a feral cat that we found. It bit you, like, since it was a kitten, while you were feeding it, it would bite you, it would scratch you. I was the only person on this planet that it loved. And even with me, it would bite me sometimes. And I'd grab it by the fur and be like, you cut it out. You know, no. I mean, I like kind of like that old Chris Rock bit. I won't hit a cat, but I'll fucking, you know, grab it by the neck and be like, you fucking bite me. Bite me. I fucking feed you and clean up your shit. You will respect me. I guess cats don't respect you. You know, try your best. Anyway, the cat was born. We had to get rid of both cats. So the big fat cat that we had went down and stayed in. I moved it to some warehouse that we had down in Orange County where we had a t-shirt shop that we were like, the cat lived there. It lived in a warehouse. It was miserable but happy, and I gave it a ton of food. And then eventually, when we moved back to Orange County, the cat moved in with us. And then the first week it was home, it was like an outside cat, and it disappeared. I'm assuming it became like coyote sushi. We have coyotes down here in Orange County. I think a coyote ate it, but the cat was mean. Nobody liked it. It's probably in cat hell because it wasn't a nice cat. But that's probably better than the existence that it would have had the last 5 years, because my wife no longer loved that cat, and that wasn't even the likable cat. The likable cat, his name is Lucky Cat. Wife was over that cat. As soon as my kid was born, Lucky Cat could die on fire. So that cat was actually petable and nice. That cat went and lived with my mom with her fucking weird ass, like, adoption cat she got from like the, not a rescue place. I think she got it from like the, not the Salvation Army. What's the Salvation Army for pets? The the Humane Society. So she had this weirdo adult cat she got from Humane Society, and my mom, as much as, you know, I love her, she's my mom, but there's issues there. She named the cat, she never gave the cat a fucking name. She named, it's just called Kitty or Kitty. I mean, our cat was named Lucky Cat because it looked like the lucky cat, like you'd get in like a Chinese restaurant. That was like the joke, like, oh, Lucky Cat. And, you know, that it, we fucking named it something. You know what I mean? Like, we did give it a name. We didn't just be like, oh, fucking cat, Stripe Cat. Her, you know, we weren't assholes about it. But my mom got this adult cat and just named it Kitty. Or Kitty Cat, but like really just never gave it a fucking name. And it lived in her house, and it was this weird ass, like, you know, a midlife, post half, you know, 3/4 life fucking adult adopted fluffy shit cat that like my mom had for company, I guess, or, you know, the companionship, if you will, because she's too selfish, I think. And don't tell my mom I said this. I think my mom's too selfish to get a dog because she's older, but she's like an active older. So she likes to travel and go out of town and on vacations. And a dog, you have to board and shit. A cat, you can just leave with a bunch of food and just hope for the best. Or, you know, I have her house key and she texts me and asks me to feed the stupid fucking thing. And I would. Sometimes I'd forget. And then I'd be like, well, a cat could live for 48 to 72 hours without food, right? And, you know, the couple times I did forget, cat was still alive. So victory for us all. And it did a little fast. People in Hollywood pay thousands of dollars for those fasting diets that clean your system, make your mind more keen and cute, and your body, you're just more, just a perfect machine. So basically, I did that cat a favor, and it's still alive. But my mom took the cat, Lucky Cat, when my son was born, because, you know, you don't want the cats to jump in the thing and smother the kid to death or whatever. And I don't know. I mean, there's that movie Cat's Eye based off the Stephen King book from the 80s, which I'm sure they'll probably do a remake of right now, but it's like where there's like cats steal the breath from children, but at the end, not to spoiler alert, the movie's been out for 35 years, the book's probably been out for 40, but the spoiler is that it's not a cat stealing the breath, it's this little like 6-foot-tall like evil kind of garden clean-shaved garden gnome troll thing with like a miniature sword that's stealing the kid's breath, and then the cat actually saves it at the end, and there's like a battle. So that's a thing. Anyway, cat goes to live with my mom, and then our son, we move back down to Orange County. Born and raised in Orange County, lived in Los Angeles for 15 years, moved back down here when my son was born, to beautiful Huntington Beach. Again, a place, if you like to go straight on a wave with four other guys in front of you, from riding, you know, a soft top, a Hayden shape, a longboard with a fin in backwards, and then a dude with a spring suit and booties with maybe a fucking, you know, one of those, like a hat on. It's the place to surf, guys. It's the hottest place in the world. Come down to the pier. There's tons of parking. Love to have you. Anyway, we moved back down to Huntington. My kids like gets to be 2 or 3, and then I start feeling my wife out, like, hey, can we have the cats back? Because I am a being who is filled with love, boundless love in my heart, in my soul, for everything, for people, for animals, obviously for surfing, you know, for humanity and animal kind in the same. I am that kind of person that, you know, cradles the existence of all things and holds them up to be just no, that's not true. I'm like a full pessimistic asshole too. But I did like our fucking cats, and I wanted our cats back. So I said, hey, can we have the cats back? Come on, be cool, be cool, be cool, be cool. And then my wife was like, yeah, we can have the cats back. But like the fat, mean one can only be an outside cat. I'm like, oh, he's a fucking goner. I knew he was going to be a goner. She's actually a she, but she was named David Taylor after our old roommate before we got married. So I was just, and she is kind of butch. So what are pronouns these days anyway? I don't see gender for animals or people. I'm open-minded, guys. I'm super woke. I'm riding a bird scooter right now, fucking while eating a vegan wrap or something, recording a SoundCloud album. I'm woke as shit. Okay, I'm not. I'm fair, but I'm not woke. So anyway, I beg for the cat back. Fat one has to be an outdoor cat. The little one can be an indoor cat, but like the rules have goddamn motherfucking change. The world has turned to 180 on this poor fucking cat. So the cat was with us when we lived in LA, best friend, star of the house, cuddles every day, sleeping in the bed, sleeping under the covers, doing cuddle jail. That's when it's like kind of like in the mornings and the weekends when you're trying to get up, but the cat will come wedge in next to you and she'll put you in cuddle jail where she won't let you get up, and you're like sleeping till like noon when you had a bunch of shit to do, like cuddle jail. That's all gone. The cat cannot be on our bed ever in our bedroom. It's not supposed to be in our room. It can't be in our kid's room. Our kid was like 3 at that point. So, you know, he was just like trying to grab the cat and pull its tail off and probably shove a crane up its asshole. So the cat hated our son, rightfully so. The cat was in the right. The cat was like, fuck that kid. He sucks all the dicks that there are, and then goes to other planets to find other dicks to suck. And the cat was right. The cat, our 3-year-old, and the cat, from the cat's point of view or perspective, if you look at it through the cat's eye, if you will, was to, our kid was a fucking asshole to the cat. And now he's six and he's trying to be friends with the cat, but the cat is like an elephant. Cat doesn't forget. The cat's like, hey, you were a cocksucker. You got me thrown out of where I fucking lived. Then I came back. I can't sit in any of the shit or lay and cuddle with anyone. And you're trying to fucking, you know, you're chasing me around the house with a goddamn Voltron fucking doll. Fuck you. Eat shit. Go to my litter box. Grab a fork because you can eat all my shit and then go next door and eat some shit too from the other pets that they have. So, cat's back, but the cat just hates its life. The cat was really like, we had that big fat cat that was mean. And then our lucky cat was like the thin, cute little photogenic cat. That all went downhill. The 4 or 5 years it lived, at least 3 years that lived my mom, it gained a bunch of fucking weight and had like a pot belly when it came back. And it was just like, it's kind of like a pet cemetery situation. You know, like you pick your movie. I remember the old one from the 80s or the 90s. There's a new one they remade it. And so yeah, maybe you're a literary person. You read the book. Good on you. But it's like a pet cemetery situation where with the cat died. Like spiritually, it feels like the cat died. And then we buried it in a pet cemetery to give it magical powers to come back. That gateway was me begging my wife to let the cat come back. Cat comes back, but it's just never quite the same. Because I don't know how to describe it, but when you look at the cat, especially if you look into the cat's eyes, there's just a quiet sadness that that wasn't there before. The spark was gone and it's just like this quiet, it's still like now it's still stoked, it's happy to be back, but it's not, it's just, it knows things will never be the same. And it's the tunnel, you know, is the light at the tunnel is coming and the aperture is closing on. And the last chapter of its story is not as happy as the beginning chapters. You know, it's a little bit bittersweet if you think about it, like I just did in a podcast about surfing. Anyway, cat comes back. Cat can't cuddle. Cat can't be on the bed. Cat's fat. My kid's trying to kill the cat. Now the cat, trying to be friends with the cat's like, well, fuck yourself. But now, like, what I should have done last night is when I went to bed, I stayed up pretty late playing video games, but I was tired. I should have left our bedroom door open. And I should have let the cat come in and sleep with me. And I should have let the cat put me in cuddle jail. I locked the cat out. I was like tired. And sometimes the cat will lay on your feet or lay in the middle of the bed behind your knees and not let you move. And it'll cry and shit or like scratch to get out of the room too early or in the middle of the night. And like I needed to sleep. So I just called an audible. And as I was going to bed, I brushed my teeth and flossed. I shut my door to my bedroom and I pushed it till it clicked. And it, you know, like the door thing, because if you leave it ajar, the cat can push in. But I pushed the door and I turned the heater on a little bit and I got warm and cozy and I went to bed and the poor cat, you know, this morning at like 7, it was crying, but I ignored it. And then it went away till like I got up later, hours later, like 10:30 or whenever I got up. So surf check, sleep in, catless, like a real bastard. Get up 10:30, 11, go downstairs, feed the cat. And they go, you know what? I see that it's still kind of windy outside, but like, yeah, it looked kind of fun earlier. Let's see what the waves are doing. And then, oh, also, I had gotten a text from a friend, a high school friend that I rarely see, that who just randomly texts me to go surf from time to time. But he's one of those guys that texts you, hey, want to surf? I'm like, yeah, I'll meet you at the pier in 10 minutes. And then he never fucking shows up. He's that fucking guy. I love him with all my heart, but he can go fuck himself because, like, oh, let's go surf. I'm like, oh, I didn't want to surf, but yeah, I'll go surf. You want to go surf? It's good to see a friend. And then the motherfucker doesn't show up. Or he's like, or you're like, we're going to meet on North Side in front of like Tower 2 or whatever. And then he in the water. And then you paddle out. And then he's like, oh, you see him in the parking lot 2 hours. Like, oh, I was surfing South Side down in front of the fucking, you know, in front of the Hyatt or whatever. It's like, what the fuck, man? The whole reason I went out was to. Anyway, that's the type of friend that you have, I'm sure, if you surf a lot. But I go, this guy texts me, go surf, and he texts me like at like 8 or 9. So I just texted back like, oh, hey, I'm just woke up. I'm going to head down to Northside in about, you know, in a little bit. So I did. I actually did. I ate a late dinner. I'm not proud of this, but I ate dinner before the show, our first show at like 7 last night, but I hadn't had lunch. So I had a breakfast at noon and I had dinner at 7. I didn't eat all night. So I got home at 1. I had like soup and naan, you know, that bread that you eat with like, you know, chicken tiki masala from Trader Joe's. And then I had like, I don't know, I don't want to say this out loud. I had like 11 of those, this is so fucking bad. I had like 11 chocolate chip cookies from one of those cookie, you know, the cookies. They used to be like 30 cookies or whatever for $5. And then they were $6. And now they're like $7, the sticker on them. They have them at Ralph's and or Albertsons, or all the major supermarkets have them. So my wife and my son must have bought those earlier in the week. I was ignoring them all week. And then I was like, you know, up late. And I'm like, Yeah, I had like nine, maybe not 11, but I had at least seven. I would say I had 7 to 11 cookies, probably 9 chocolate chip cookies, which just makes me a fucking monster. And I'm filled with self-loathing about it, and I hate myself. But there's nothing I can do. I can't take that time back. So, and then I think I also had a beer while I was playing video games. So I probably had a nice, 19,000 calories in a 32-minute span at, after 1 a.m. in the morning. Like a champion, hero, athlete, winner does, if you will. So I go and I go to bed, luck out, get up this morning. I don't eat breakfast because I'm still full because I pigged out like a goddamn animal. So I throw my board, my wetsuit in the car, and I head down and I drive down and park at the pier. And I suit up and I'm suiting up and I see a guy a little bit older than the pier local guy. He's got like a shit ton of kids and whatnot. And it's noon or 11 or it's after 11, probably almost noon. And he's just getting out and he's usually pretty on it. So I'm like, oh, fuck, if he's going out, that's cool. Because I had looked at the cam at like right before I left my house, and it looked kind of fun. It looked like the wind had died off a little bit, and it looked like there was like definitely some south and then some west wind swell, so it was like little peaks. It looked small, probably 1 to 2, maybe 3 foot, but it looked surfable. And I was just heading out of my house. I was just going to do a surf. I was just going to – one of those surfs you do, like, listen, you should – my whole thing is like, especially if you're older. If you're younger, it probably doesn't matter, but you're surfing all the time. But you've got to surf, especially in the winter when there's waves. You got to surf at least – let's say 3 times a week. If you live in the beach, if you're not a real actual living near the beach person, I understand you just do it like as a hobby once in a while. But if you surf a lot, you got to surf as an adult. You got to surf 3 times a week because it helps you keep from getting fat. It keeps you on your toes. And you need to surf when it's shitty because it can get shitty for weeks, especially where I live in beautiful Huntington Beach where dreams come to die and closeouts come to just fill your entire session. And then a guy bails his board for no reason on a wave. A 5-year-old could have duck dived and you've got to like do that extra long duck dive where you kind of like stretch, squint your eyes so the fin doesn't come poke your eye out from that guy's board. And then an awkward, like, you don't want to yell at him because he seems like a moron, but you don't. You're just like, oh, he's a... And then they usually don't say sorry. So you're like, just say sorry, you fucking... But you don't. You just paddle off like, Anyway, so I had a beautiful Huntington Beach. I paddle. I go out. The waves look good. It looked fun. It looked bad, but it looked fun. But I was like, sorry, I lost myself for a second. You got to surf when you're old. You got to surf to keep the wheels, your back and your knees and everything and shoulders and being able to paddle. Because I am always like, especially, you probably know this. Like, if you know a swell is coming, like the report says, 3 to 5 days or, maybe 5 days. I go, oh, there's a first big swell. The season's coming or whatever. You got to force yourself to surf a couple times, like 2 or 3 days before. So you can like surf, be a little sore the next day, surf through the soreness, then take a rest, and then get to surf those 2 or 3 days of the swell when it's good. At least if you're old. Maybe you're young and you have a perfect body and everything's great for you and you don't pop Advil like they're fucking Tic Tacs just so you can, maybe halfway touch your toes and you stretch before you paddle out. Then you're living a dream that I no longer experience. And I'm envious and also happy for you. I celebrate you. But I get the waves. It looks bad, but I'm going to paddle out and surf bad at a bad crowded Sunday, at noon at north side of the Huntington Pier. I'm like, I'll get to see a couple guys. Maybe my friend that texted me will still be out. But I'm really just thinking I'm going to go out for 30 minutes minimum. If I can make myself stay out an hour and just paddle around a lot, not just sit and chit chat because it's probably going to be small. I got to, I'll count that as exercise. It's not going to burn off those, 11 or 9 cookies that I ate last night or the beer or the soup or the naan, but it's going to help. It's going to get me ready in case waves come in the next couple weeks. And I got to get game face mode on. The last 6 months I've been working a lot and surfing very little. This is when I turn it around. I'm going to go just going to eat broccoli and broiled chicken for the next 6 months. I'm going to drop some weight and get down to my fighting, my good, lean, mean, sad dad bod machine way that I know that I can be if I apply myself. But I don't know. I get to the beach. It actually looks fun. It looks a little bit bigger than I thought it was going to be because I thought it was going to be breaking way farther inside of the first tee, which means that it's basically just glorified shore break, but worse because it's Huntington. But actually, the sets were breaking a little bit outside the tee. There were a couple like, I'm pretty tall, but like to leave in like regular size surfer, a couple shoulder high waves. It's also, there's like, it's not barreling, but it's a little bit steep and it's not all mushy and crappy like it was. So long story short, I suit up as fast as I can. I grab my board, and I run down and I go surf. And the waves were way funner than I was expecting back at home. And even when I was putting my wetsuit on, it was fun. It was peaky. It was crossed up. It wasn't too crowded. There was like, some locals out and it was good. I got to see 4 or 5 guys I haven't seen in a few weeks or a few months. And a couple guys I do see all the time, get chit chat a little bit and visit. I get to front tease this kid Ian who surfs the pier. He's like, I don't know, he's a young kid. He's probably 19 or 20 or 21. He's going to OCC. But he shaped his own surfboard like 3 years ago and finally got a glass and he was riding it. And it was, I was like teasing him because like it didn't look like the most symmetrical surfboard. And not that it was asymmetrical on purpose, but it looked like it had a lot of channels in the bottom. They weren't channels. They were just like concave spots that like it went from double to triple to sideways to single. But yeah, he shaped his own board. And the kid's 20 and he surfs pretty good. What does he give a shit? He ride a goddamn McDonald's tray better than I could ride a brand new Merrick. So Got to goof around with him and some of my older buddies. And then, yeah, so the whole beginning of this episode is like, I love those surfs when you're just paddling out. It's a maintenance surf. It's just a maintenance surf. You're just going out to force yourself to go out, and then it actually ends up being really fun. Either the waves turn out to be fun, more fun than you thought when you left your house, or you paddle out and the waves get better, or you paddle out and it's a mediocre day, but for some reason you're just having a great session. Waves are just coming to you, you're surfing better than you normally surf, or something, you know, something cool happens. So that's what happened today. I was really, my stoke meter, if I had one, which I fucking don't, because that sounds really stupid, but my stoke meter was very, it was low. It was very depleted. It was just, oh, it was in the low teens at best out of 100. Even out of 1,000, my stoke meter was not, you know, it was not where it needed to be. And actually, I don't really know if you need a stoke meter. But anyway, stoke meter was down. And then I went out and surfed. And I was only going to surf for an hour. I surfed for like 2.5 hours. So that was awesome. And like the waves were fun for an hour. Then they got bad for an hour. They started getting better again. But I had to come record this podcast for you guys. No, I had a bunch of stuff I had to do up at the theater, and we have a couple shows tonight. We have shows this week, and then the OC Comedy Festival the week after this week. So I had a lot of work to do. So I came up to work, but I got out of the water, changed because I parked in the north side parking lot. I walked up to Fifth Street. I got a poke bowl at is it North Shore Poke Company or whatever. There's a poke bowl place on Fifth Street in downtown Huntington that is phenomenal. I would love to give it a shout out. I took a picture of the sign one time. Let me look at my phone while I podcast. I took a picture of my on the sign, and I was like going to give it a shout out a couple podcast episodes ago, but I think it was the week when I did that podcast that was the second most listened to episode we've done, you know, since we started again, but also it was the one, the drop off from that episode after it was like 500 people less on the next episode. And now it's back up again. I think it was the one where I made fun of the WSL, made fun of surfers for being morons. The pro surfers are basically, you know, high school dropout idiots. I don't think a lot of people enjoyed that because a lot of people don't enjoy the goddamn truth. No, I really hope that people know that I meant that more tongue in cheek than anything else, but I did. Yeah, we did have a little bit of drop off the week after, and then we had a couple more episodes that are a little less intense, probably a little less sweary, and then the numbers were right back up. So thank you, mighty listeners, for doing that. I'm not. It sounds like I'm just talking for filler, so I can find the picture of the pokey place, and that may or may not be the case. How dare you accuse me of that? And it was. It's called North Shore Pokey Company. And it's like a block from the beach on Fifth Street. It's like 101 or 103 Fifth Street in Huntington Beach. I highly recommend it. Their bowls are really good. They put them in these plastic containers and they stuff the container. Like it's like if you get rice, it's like rice. And then if you get a large, it's way more poke meat than probably at least half, 50% more poke meat than any poke place that I've eaten in Orange County in the last probably 2 years. It's great. And the people are nice. And they have like a comma ina deal. They're like, oh, you're from HB? I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I never learned to read. You know, and then they're like, oh, no, you get like a small discount. There's always like trashy Instagram people there with their boobs and butts and even dudes without their shirts on loitering about. There was a lady when I walked up today at an outside table, sunglasses on. And like workout clothes, but there's no gym downtown anymore, so who knows what that was all about. And she's got her hands behind her back, like her head, like she's, but she's sitting in like an upright like lunch chair. But she's got her hands behind her back, facing the sun, like she's like. I guess to her it was soaking up the sun, but it just looked like she was trying to tan her armpits. I just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like the most exposed part of the sun. So her hands like behind her back, behind her head, you know, like she's like leaning back a little bit, but sitting up straight. It was the weirdest fucking thing. And I think her eyes were closed because people were like visibly like gawking at her. Like, not because she was like what she was wearing, because she was hot or anything. And she wasn't ugly, I don't think. But I don't know what she looked like. I just know it was a lady that looked like she was like suntanning her armpits in front of the place when I walked up. So it's great. You're going to see at least 3 or 4 or 5 beautiful specimens of humanity that you can probably blog about or mock on Instagram to feel better about yourself, whatever you have to do. But it was a good thing. But yeah, it was a good day. I did that. So that's the crux of the beginning. The theme of this podcast episode is unexpected fun sessions. Is when you think it's going to be bad and it turns out to be better than it was, or it gets better. And that's one of the good. I have no sentimental, feelings or bones in my body really, especially about surfing, because it's a fun thing to do, but it's goofy as shit. You're in a rubber suit floating around in the ocean with teenagers. How is that a sport? But I love it so much. I love it so much. I live and breathe it. But that was it. That was a good thing. And speaking of being stoked, Laurel is a listener, and she left a really nice comment on our Instagram. Thank you, Laurel. And it turns out her and her friend have a podcast called the Post Session Podcast, and you can find them at postsessionpodcast.com. She said a funny thing that she said, I probably wouldn't like it because it's too sweet and spiritual, which is funny, because I'll tell you a secret, Laurel. Today, at the end of my surf session, I saw a guy, and I've covered this before. There's people that you surf with for weeks, months, years, even decades sometimes that are like surf. They're not surf acquaintances. They're surf friends, but they're friends in surfing only. Like, you might know their first name. You might not. You usually don't know their last name unless it's their nickname or the handle that they go by with their friends, that know them better. But like today, a surf acquaintance kid who's like, he was younger. He was like probably a middle or junior high school when I was like a senior in high school. I remember him from when he was a Grom. And now I'm in my 40s and he's probably in his late 30s. But like, he still looks the same, but he's just like a slightly, older. I see him as like a slightly older 13-year-old, but he's like in like probably in his mid or late 30s, if not older. But he was out. I always see him and I don't know his name. And I'll never ask him his name because it's been fucking 20 or 30 years. I'd be the biggest asshole in the world. Like, hey, man. I've known you since the 90s, but I would just like to take the time to learn your name now, because I am the biggest piece of shit in the world. So, it's a lot of buddy, guy, pal, kind of friend kind of talk. There's no names. And, hey, good to see you. And shakas and whatnot. But he lives down more towards like 17th Street, like more north, north of the pier. I think he lives down like downtown, but north downtown. And, the numbered streets, even the mid-numbered streets in HB, if you will. But he was like, hey, man, we were chit-chatting a little bit about, he was like, he likes to talk about boards and stuff. So I always get a kick about talking to him. But we were chit-chatting, and he had some fun waves. But the waves that kind of died. He's like, hey, man, I'm going to go surf down by my house. And I said, oh, I'm like, well, have fun surfing tomorrow, because the waves are supposed to be better tomorrow. But my son's off school. I'm telling you guys this. My son's off school, so I'm not going to get to surf tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be like 4 to 5 foot and epic and probably super fun up and down the beach from like Huntington to Newport and beyond. I can't surf tomorrow because I'm having my son's out of school that day, and it's Veterans Day, and my wife and I's nanny / babysitter is a veteran, so we can't make her work on goddamn Veterans Day because we're not I mean, we could, but we're not fucking monsters. We're assholes, but we're not monsters. Or we're monsters, but we're not asshole monsters is what we're saying. So lady is getting the day off. God bless her and her patriotism and her service and all that shit. And, but she gets the prime spots at Home Depot. So who's really benefiting here? No, she's really nice. But I'm going to do stuff with my son all day tomorrow, and I'm fine with that. Even if we did a beach day, it would just kill me because we just play in the shore break. And then, I'll be watching my friends get like perfect, like shoulder high barrels and, the lipper sections and whatnot. And I'll just want to slip my wrist. So I'm going to take my friend, my son to go do something inland away from the beach. And I'm not gonna look at my phone all goddamn day. Cause a few weeks ago when it was super offshore, the best day was the day my son had school off for some random reason, like on a Wednesday. I promised to take my son to Disneyland that day. So I was at Disneyland all day. I checked my phone at 3:45 against my better judgment. And it was perfect and glassy. As I fired up the Northside webcam, when it came to life, a perfect 4 foot peak was coming in. Two guys took off. One guy went right, who was regular foot. One guy went left, who was goofy foot. They both got like crouching, but like stand up, covering to the nose, and then coming out with a cutback barrels at the same. Like, it was almost like you cut a scene of one in half and like reversed it. Yeah, guys took off at a peak, split it. Both got barreled, came out and cut back, and then hit the section on the each respective wave. And I took a screenshot of them getting barreled. And that I shut my phone off and I just put it in my goddamn pocket. I did not take it out until we got home, because I was like, if it had been a foot bigger, I would have been like, listen, my dearest child, my only son, my son I love so much, I will buy you any fucking thing at the Lego store at Disney, downtown Disney, that's under $49 before tax right now. I'll buy you whatever the fuck you want. If we can drive home, I can drop you off at grandma's and I can surf for, 71 minutes before it's pitch black. But I didn't do that. I stayed in like a goddamn champion. Parented my balls off, did Disneyland stuff with my son, who just was probably didn't appreciate it, but maybe someday he will. But yeah, that was a good thing. Okay, so I got a couple things, other topics that I want to talk about real quick on this episode. Again, we'll get into surf etiquette, but I'm working on a strategy to break that up into multiple episodes. I would like to do an ebook about it. I think that'd be really funny. We have an ebook. I had to write an ebook. We wanted to do an audio book for our comedy theater. We had like intro to stand-up comedy book. But to do an audiobook, you actually have to submit it as a Kindle book, as a written book, a digital written book first. So I had to write it as like a PDF, get it structured like, you know, $10 on Fiverr, to have somebody put it in the file format to be submitted to Amazon. It got to Amazon, and then I had a lady on Fiverr record it with a British accent, who I thought that'd be cool. But that's on Audible, and we use it for a teaching thing. So when people sign up for our comedy classes here, it's usually, we have 3-week classes and 6-week classes, like, you know, intensive and non-intensive. We always make them, hey, listen to this book first. It's a 38-minute audiobook. Listen to it on double speed in less than 20 minutes. But I'm like, listen to this book first. It will give you the lay of the land for stand-up, and then come to the class. But I think maybe I would love, and it didn't take long. It took a couple months to write and, you know, edit and record. I would love to write one of those and then have it recorded, and then put it on Audible and have it on the thing, and it'd be sarcastic, but it would be actual, truthful, like actual good etiquette things. And then I would have quotes by famous surfers. So I'm pretty sure if I bugged the shit out of people on Instagram or asked a couple friends that I know that were like notable surfers back from when, or friends of notable surfers now, or I have a couple friends that are team managers for bigger and smaller companies, I could get enough quotes in that book. It would be pretty fucking funny. So that's a goal. Maybe we'll do like a Kickstarter or a Patreon for that, but it wouldn't need a lot of money to do it. It'd be fun to do. Maybe we'll do, if we did a Kickstarter, it'd be just like a pre-sale Kickstarter, like, oh, you can buy a copy of it before it comes out, or a t-shirt or something related to that. Also working on the Surfing Podcast t-shirts. You guys keep emailing and asking me. I got to get a design I don't hate. I hired a couple people, just cheap, you know, cheap Fiverr graphic designer. People just like, hey, just give me a general layout of what you would do. And all the designs I got back were so terrible. It's like, I could do that in Photoshop. You're not helping anything. So we'll do that. One thing, I had this thing, another weird thing, that I think all surfers have, and if you don't have it, then you're missing out. I have a friend who's a little bit older than me. So it works with any friend, anyone that's your age, a little bit older than you, younger than you, not working well, doesn't work as well, and surfs better than you. I have a friend that's a little bit older than me who surfs much better than me, and he's like a dad. And like, I'm a dad where I have like a 6-year-old. He's a dad where he has like a 20, 21-year-old. And I think maybe another kid too. I don't know. I'm not a pedophile. I'm not keeping track of his goddamn kids. But he's cool, but he surfs good, and he's older than me, so if I'm in my 40s, he's in his late 40s probably, maybe even 50, guy rips, he surfs good, hits the lip, still goes like 12 o'clock vertical, front side, back side, and it's insane, and a really good front side carve as well, and he surfs, he's a good all-around surfer, but he will like pull me aside sometimes, and very sweetly go, hey, I wanted to tell you a thing about like a surfing, the thing that you're doing kind of bad, do you mind? And he's always very nice. He's like, listen, I don't want to tell you if it's going to offend you or you're going to be mad. I don't want to be weird. Like, it's just a thing. It's just, you know, like, what? So today he's like, hey, your like head is too high up when you're paddling. Like, you're looking up too much. You need to droop your head down and get your head closer to your board and your paddle. It'll elongate you and help you paddle. And he's absolutely right, because I've been paddling the last few times. I've been surfing all summer because my back has been sore, because I've been sitting and working more than I've been surfing by 10,000 times more working than surfing. So like my lower back has been hurting. So I have been paddling upright with like my back kind of arched, kind of like almost like an idiot, makes my back not hurt as much. Paddling lower, like he's describing, is a little like more hurty. But he was like, more like when you're taking off on waves, because you're like, not, you're getting the wave like a half a second too late, and that's probably why. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And that was advice I will totally take. And then for the rest of the session, when no one was looking, I totally worked on that. And it did help me get into a little bit of a wave that was a little bit closed out, because it's Huntington, it's all closed outs, a little bit faster, and I got hit the section before instead of missing the section because of that, I think. So I really help him. He's also a guy, like last year, he's like, the waves were good for like a week and we were surfing, he's like, hey, can I tell you this? And he's always right, listen, he's like, I don't want to, it's, dude, you're a good guy, like, I just want to, and he's like, yeah, he's like, don't do that thing where you like stand up straight when you drop in a wave and then crouch down, because it's like you're half a beat off and it's making you miss a better bottom turn in the section, a better section closer to the pocket. And he's right, because I'm super tall. Sometimes I do this a lot when the waves are crappy sometimes, and I'm not paying attention, but it's fun for me. I like that thing sometimes. It's usually on a crappy wave where you kind of like stand up like all the way up real straight and kind of stand up and lift your weight up and then drop it down, like almost like we do on a longboard, to drop down the face on a wave. especially on like a closeout or a crappy wave. But I do that sometimes on waves that are like more lined up and better. And I was like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Because it is better. Take off, you know, you're close to your board when you're taking off and standing up. Stay close to your goddamn board. There's no reason to stand up straight. You're bottom turning. You should be able to touch the water with either hand at all times, pretty much. You know, I'm 6'3". It's like a giraffe standing on a cork, like I've said before. So it's I'm not the most graceful and elegant body type or individual in the world. But yeah, he was absolutely spot on. But I really do appreciate having a friend like that. Like, I think that's a real sign of him. That's a good friend to have, is someone that will pull you aside and say, hey, I'm not fucking picking on you. I'm not trying to call you Kook or Barney, even though you are. But yeah, if you do this one little simple thing, like don't stand up straight half a second after you catch the wave, and just put your head down more closer to your don't have your head cocked up like a fucking duck as you paddle, it'll help. And it did. So I think that was awesome. And I'm glad to have that guy as a friend. I've known him since I was probably, I don't know, 10 years old. And he's a good surfer. He's a good dad. He has a business. He owns his own business, and he kills it on that. He's just good all around guy. He's a guy that I look up to. And I hope as I progress and mature as a father and as a human being on this planet, I could move more towards being like him and less like the asshole that I am. Got a couple more things, and I think we're at the 41-minute mark, so I think there's a couple things that aren't as related, so I think I'll save that for another episode. But what I will discuss, the last thing we'll discuss, and this is going to be a little controversial, guys, so if you've been on board so far, you know, the long cat story, Jesus Christ, if you made it through that, you're platinum hero status all the way across the board. But here's the deal, this is going to divide people, you know, and at this time in our country, in my country, in America's this point in history, it's we got to bring this country together, man. We can't be divisive. We have to find bridges to people, you know, our fellow citizens and friends and whatnot. So here it is. I want to know, what's the cutoff for when you tell another surfer they have a booger in their mustache or beard? A lot of surfers these days, ironically, not ironically, that's unironic. The ironic mustache has gone from ironic to non-ironic. Kids, you know, 16-year-olds to 50-year-olds are rocking mustaches now. And not in a cool Freddie Mercury way, because most fucking surfers are homophobic. I don't want to go homo. But no, it was this ironic mustache. And now it is like, there's just guys I know that are like 24 that have a mustache, that have a girlfriend. And I don't mean that they're gay. I mean, like, they could have a boyfriend. They have a lover or someone in their, like, someone loves them with that on their face, right? And they just have it. So that being said, like, a lot of times you surf, you know, the first few minutes out, first time you duck dive or, you know, catch a wave or go under wave, the water gets up your nose, you get some bugs, you know, people are always blowing boogers in their hand like a farmer blow. But it happens. I'm saying recently, in the last 5 years, whenever the hipster mustache crossed over from just being a hipster mustache to being a mainstream mustache, where it's okay to have a mustache now and a beard, you'll see guys, you'll be out and a guy will have a booger in his mustache, and you'll be talking to him, and you'll be like, kind of like, is that a booger, or is it like, you know, like a water drop settles on hair or like a mustache? So it could look like a booger from a certain angle, but if you tilt or turn your head, it's not a booger. It's like it's a water droplet or something, or maybe he has a gray spot or a weird patch in his facial hair that's a different color or something. I don't want to fucking make him feel weird about, you know, some pigment problem he has, or a reverse port wine stain in his mustache. Whatever. I don't want to ruin anybody's thing. But this guy I know, I see out, again, I don't know his name. I probably know his name if I think about it, but I don't even think I know his first name. He's probably like 24, 25. He surfs the pier all the time. Surfs good. Nice kid. I just got back from a surf trip a few weeks ago. I hadn't seen him out in a while. He's like, he spent like a month somewhere crazy, like in Bali or something. But good kid. But I'm talking to him. He's got the unironic mustache, and he's a good kid. I've teased him before. I'm like, Jesus Christ, get that like gym teacher pedophile mustache off your face and crush some fucking ass. Like, you're giving off, like, I don't want my kid to stand next to you in line at Starbucks vibes, and you could be just like, oh, look at that clean shaven fucking young stallion that all the ladies want to be with. You know, wish I had a daughter so I could raise her to marry you. You know, but you know, and he's a good sport about it. He just laughs and he knows I'm an idiot. But he had a booger. It was because I did that thing where we're talking about his vacation trip I hadn't seen, and the waves, and then about the waves this week, and a couple of we were just chit-chatting because there was a lull. The waves were really fun when I got out, then there was a lull, then the waves got better again. So we're chit-chatting during the lull, but like for 5 minutes I'm talking to this guy, and by 60 seconds in, I've confirmed it is a booger. But I don't tell him. I didn't tell him. That's it's not like the sadness in my cat's eyes I described earlier, but that is what it did weigh on my soul the rest of the session. it weighed on my soul when I was at the, you know, the showers waiting for fucking these kids to finish getting the sand off their goddamn boogie board so I could rinse off. And I changed and I said, while I ate my poke bowl, I thought about it. You know, and the poke bowl is kind of slimy and salty like boogers. I thought about that. And I'm like, when is the, what level of familiarity, friendship, whatever? It was just like, I felt like it was when the waves were getting more consistent. I'm like, this guy's going to duck dive in the next 2 minutes anyway, you know? And it was all, the waves of surf zone was kind of compact. So there was a lot of duck diving and it's like shore breaky. So it's kind of like more turbulent duck dives than like if you're, you know, going around 4 or 5 foot sets where you're not duck diving like that. It's more, you're in the explodey shore break more. And it was real shallow on the inside. So I'm like, this booger's going to get washed off or he's going to run his hands or someone that knows him better. Like some guy closer to his age that went to school with him or surf contests with him who at least knows his fucking name is going to tell him he has a booger in his mustache. Because then I got to tell him he has a booger. And then he's like, oh, thanks. But then it's always like, oh, gee, thanks for telling my fly was down. I don't know. I wear underwear. That's always bad as an adult when someone's, oh, your zipper's down. And it's like, dude, everyone wears fucking underwear unless, you know, you don't, unless surfers freeball it. But in most of the time in adult world outside of the surf world, like, you're wearing underwear, usually boxer shorts, I'm imagining. And the little door in the underwear, you don't use that. And it's usually buttoned or zipped shut. They don't, that's so weird they have a door in underwear. It's a different podcast topic. But, like, you know, it's like the zipper thing. Like, someone tells you your zipper open, but then there's that weird, like, you're, like, one up on me and, like, you know, the scoreboard of society, you know, morals and mores and rules and, like, you help me, but also, like, kind of fuck you. You know, like, it's like that thing. Like, eh. So I don't want to have that weird fucking, I, you know, I got that other guy telling me what positive vibes I'm sending out. I don't want to fucking undo my positive vibes by telling a guy who I know and who I like and respect and who surfs very well that he's got a boog in his stash, you know, and it's that booger is going to rinse away. The sins of the booger will be washed by the waves of Mother Nature in moments from now. So I didn't tell him, but I always think like, what's the, when, how well do you have to know the guy? It's also how big is the booger? How green is the booger? Like, is it really gross or does it, if it, cause my whole thing too, part of my reason was like, it looks like if you're not like, like a water drip droplet, like you're maybe, or like a big one, but like, you know, I think people are going to give benefit of the doubt. And then maybe he paddles for wave and like some guys on the shoulder trying to like, you know, edge him off the wave. He sees a booger in his stash. He's like, Jesus Christ, this guy does not give a fuck. He is playing for keeps. I am going to pull the fuck back and not try and burn this guy who he's a madman. Who knows? You know? So that's my question. When, and I know it's controversial. You've probably tuned out by now, and you're probably doing an online petition to get this podcast canceled, and probably individually emailing all of our 17 listeners across the globe to tell them to cancel, you know, their subscription. But guys, I had to say it. Like, I don't know. So when is the right time? How big does the booger have to be? Maybe I'll do the really mature thing and post a thing on Instagram and like a poll or some type of a story thing and get to the bottom of this because it's a topic that needs to be covered, needs to be addressed. No one's talking about it. Oh, I just saw this week the WSL is launching their own podcast and it's all the WSL famous surfers answering boring softball questions, I guarantee. But not only that, they're not going to ask the real shit that I'm going to get to, which is like, when the booger in the mustache. Let's see it, WSL. Ask fucking, you know, Johnny Cutback. What's his name? The kid that has that great, the Santa Barbara kid who has really good stuff. Connor Coffin. Ask Connor Coffin to put down the fucking guitar and quit singing into his fucking phone and tell me how good of a friend you have to be with somebody to tell them a booger is in their beard or mustache. How big do the waves have to be? How consistent does it have to be? How green and gross does the booger, if it's not a gross boog, if it's one of those long stringy white ones, like that's, does that more gross or less gross? Because that kind of looks like jizz, and maybe that's a whole different thing. Anyway, those are the things that we discussed this week that I wanted to discuss with you. Please, if you have questions, comments, anything, hit us up, thesurfingpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram at thesurfingpodcast. We don't really use Twitter that much. Do Instagram or Facebook, The Surfing Podcast. Ask me a question, comment on the booger thing. I'll put some posts up that are booger related because, of course, I'm an idiot. Why wouldn't I? Please, if you like us, go on iTunes, subscribe to us, subscribe, and then leave us a 5-star review. Since I did that call to action, because a few, like 3 or 4 episodes ago, I was like, don't give us a 5-star review. Go give someone else a 5-star review, which, because I don't really think that's that big. But I did a call to action last week, episode of the episode before, maybe also. And we had, since then, a couple people have gone on and left like decent reviews. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate Laurel's nice comment and the other couple people that sent me comments that I forgot to mention this episode. God, I'm such a dick. But yeah, thank you for your nice comments or your Instagram messages and comments about listening to the show, because it does a lot of times, like I told Laurel in my comment to her, it feels like I'm just screaming into the void sometimes, although I know that there's a few thousand people that listen to this thing, a thousand less or so after that, the episode where I made fun of pro surfers for being morons. But you guys, the numbers bounced back two episodes later, so thank you guys for bouncing back and giving this another shot. That being said, I think the 21 minutes I did on my cat situation that had nothing to do with surfing probably lost us all of our listeners, followers, and subscribers. So the three people that are left that have a cat fetish or don't know how to unscribe to something on Instagram or iTunes, I commend you. I thank you, and I welcome you to the inner circle of the few, the strong, the proud, the surfing podcast people that just haven't given up on this show yet. Yeah. Like I said, for the Surfing Podcast, my name is Dan Bilek. I always enjoy talking to you guys. I hope you guys get tons of waves this week and have a super fun time and are nice to each other. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much.